Well, Lou, this is going to be an experiment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like cold fusion. It's going to be my dinner with Harte. Oh, actually, it's my dinner with Harte, your dinner with Lute.
Exactly.
And it's going to be based on
the movie My Dinner with Andre.
Oh, what's that about?
So, these two fellas, two friends, Andre.
Andre the Giant?
No, Andre the normal sized person and his friend Wallace are having dinner. They haven't seen each other in 5 years because Andre had left town, left the New York theater scene, and is traveling all around the world, and Wallace has stayed put because he's more of a homebody.
I see. So that's like you and I, who see each other every single day.
Well,
so we have a lot to catch up on.
Well, maybe not. But I thought that you and I have different enough worldviews that it would be kind of fun to have the conversation. Because sometimes we have really in-depth, interesting conversations, I think.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You know this won't be interesting, right?
Well, I don't think that's true. I think it will be.
You know what really won't be interesting is us debating whether it will be interesting or not.
Well, that I agree. That we agree on, for sure.
Well, let's look at the menu.
Yeah, we'll bring it down that way. We'll bring it down to something more specific. Maybe we'll see something on the end menu we can talk about.
I know, because, you know, a lot of times we just eat in silence.
I know. I think a lot of that's Butchie, though.
True. Because he yells, shut up.
Yeah. That's kind of a conversation stopper.
Oh, they have soup.
No, they do have quite a few kinds of soup.
Oh, man. I love soup.
Well, let's see. They got tomato soup.
Nah.
Chicken soup.
No.
They have vegetarian vegetable soup.
No.
Gazpacho.
No.
French onion soup.
No.
Well, that's about all they have. Chili.
No.
Well, that's all the soups, man.
Well, maybe I don't like soup.
Well, what soups do you like?
I've never really had one I liked.
Yeah. What?
Well, you know, I'm just hopeful. I think I do like soup. I think I've just never had a good one, you know? I also like banana bread.
Mmm.
Well, I mean...
Except, you know...
I know. I know there's good... People tell me there's good banana bread.
I'm sure there is. I have a thing with the nuts in it.
I do, too. Sometimes I love nuts, but when they're in certain things... I just don't like them, like bread. I don't know. I love the nuts separately. Maybe if they just served everything separately.
I would like, instead of bread, just take the things and put them in the, like, mise en place dishes. Like, you're going to make it, but don't make it. So you'd have, like, chopped up banana in one bowl, nuts, sugar, flour, and whatever, butter. And then what I would do is I would just take the sugar and butter and eat that. Dump the flour on my head, eat the banana, and sit there with a bowl of nuts while I watched everybody's reaction.
I think that's probably the way to eat banana bread, is deconstruct it. I probably already know what I like, because I come here, a lot of times I'll get the grilled cheese sandwich. I like that.
Yeah, man, menus are a trouble for me because there's so many choices, and I'm sure they're all good. And then sometimes on the menu they'll say, well, these are our things that we really like to serve, like our special things. And then that's a lot of pressure, right? Because what if I get one of those and it's no good? Then I'm never going to come back and get the other stuff that they say is definitely kind of meh.
Oh, I know.
That's why I like a fixed plate. I like a fixed menu where you come in and say, what's on the menu tonight? And they'll say, like, rat and lima beans and, you know, dirt and everything. I'll go, no, thank you. And then that's easy.
Well, what if you like some of the stuff on the menu, or if you know ahead of time?
Oh, that's ideal. Like if a friend says, come over, we're having tofu po' boys.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, I wish they had that. Now you put that thought in my head.
Yeah, I'm that way too. I'll be in somewhere and then someone will say, oh, you know what sounds good? Something that's not on this menu at all. And then we'll just sit there in kind of disappointed, silent longing.
I know. But I like, there's a lot of good. We'll find something here. I don't see our server, but I don't mind because we're going to have a conversation. So It's so funny because sometimes you want to get waited on quickly. And other times, I think right now it would be sort of interrupting because we've just gotten started on our marvelous conversation.
And I feel like we've covered so much. Did Wallace and Andre talk about soup?
I don't know that they did. Maybe they did. I think they talked about little things too. I don't remember the movie too well. I remember that they were very eloquent.
Yes. That we're not going to be.
No. I think most people, when they're having a conversation, it's just kind of ramble. I find it hard to focus when I'm having a conversation. They go all over the place.
Yeah. It's like you go visit a friend, and I'll come home, and you'll say, "Hey, Lou, did you have dinner with Mikey?" And I'll go, "Yeah, I did have dinner with Mikey." And then you'll say, "What'd you guys talk about?" And I honestly don't know, because we talked about everything.
No, I get that. I understand that.
I think it would be weird if I came home and I said, "Yes, we talked about, existential things, like what it means to have a sense of place."
Yeah, I don't know that. First of all, that doesn't sound like Mikey.
No, man. No. Mikey was talking about, his problems.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting, too, though, because he has very unique problems, I think.
Yeah, he's always, getting imprisoned in a cave or something.
Yeah, that's kind of... My life is not so exciting.
I don't want that kind of exciting, thank you. Because he got stuck in a well one time and everything, and it makes for a good story. But I would rather be boring than have, really good stories like that. Gosh, war correspondents have good stories. I just want to... I don't mind putting people to sleep, with my story. Yes, it is pedestrian. Yes, it is boring. Yes, I haven't done anything with my life. Yes, I am relatively incurious, which means that I'm really never into anything. But that said, I'm a very good listener.
Well, I think you are too.
But I'm kidding. I heard you say something. You agreed with me.
Yes, I did. I agreed with you. So now I do want to order, because I want to get that out of the way so I get talking. Because I'm going back and forth with... I see that I can get a couple sides.
Ooh, what are you going to get? I'd get... Why don't you get a side of an entree?
No, I don't think they'll let you do that.
That would be... You could flip the system. You could say, "I'm just going to have fries and, I guess a side of lasagna."
No, but they don't... That's not the way it works.
You don't get, a lower price?
No, man. Even if they did give it to you, I don't think you're not going to get away with anything.
A lot of times I like to pretend that I'm young enough for the children's menu.
That would never work.
No, it doesn't. When we say, "We know you're kidding, sir," and they bring me the senior's menu.
Ah, so it kind of does work.
Yes. And then you get... It's funny because on the senior's menu, they give you, for free, a lot of things that you'd think would kill seniors. But I guess you get to some point and you go, "What the heck? Bring me that huge... float, ice cream float. I don't even care anymore."
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. And also give it to me for a discount, because that way I have more money to leave to my descendants, who will ultimately come in this restaurant and spend it. So y'all win. Anyway, give all free food to old people with a stipulation that somehow their descendants are going to come in and be patrons.
Can you do that? Is that...
Yeah, I'm a member of that club at one of these restaurants.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Butchie, what would you say your housemate Lou would say is your most annoying habit?
I don't really have any. Maybe stabbing or lying. I say he'll say that at least, stabbing or lying.
Let's bring out Lou now, who has been in a soundproof booth. So Lou, you have no idea what Butchie said.
Nope, except I heard something about stabbing or lying. But I don't know the context.
Oh, well, that's ruined. We were looking for Butchie's most annoying habit.
I wouldn't have answered that anyway. His most annoying habit is when we're leaving the house and I have the keys in my hand to lock the door and he's the last person out, he doesn't shut the door behind him. So I have to step back into the house and shut the door before locking it.
I don't do that.
You can put away the knife, Butchie. I don't even find it annoying. You do so much other good stuff that I don't care about your faults.
I care about your faults, but there's nothing I can do since you pay 100% of the rent.
I think we have the perfect balance in our relationship.
This ain't a relationship, pal. It's symbiosis.
How is it that you and I are together right now, friend? I won't question it. It's fate. Or maybe it's a novel that an interdimensional being is reading, and this part has just now come up in the plot. Hardy and I have a visit. We could be living in a higher being's novel. You're thinking, why isn't my life more interesting? And then you realize, hey, I'm person walking their bike by the bakery in some space god's book. Even if I were the main character, Gardewallo the clerk, there is no guarantee my experience would be better. And certainly it all ends on the same page. And then there's some blank pages for notes.
Dry pepper. Zenith dry pepper.
Prawn. Rich prawn.
Drukum. Anik Drukum.
Postweather. Miriam Postweather.
Dalculus. Elias Dalculus.
Pubus. Eftuon Pubus.
What are you guys doing?
We're playing a game we play where you say a word that sounds like a surname but probably isn't.
Today's variation was, his had to begin with D's and mine had to begin with P's.
Oh, but Prawn is a surname.
No way.
Yeah, Duncan Prawn, like Philip's friend.
Duncan Prawn was what you wanted to name your shrimp cocktail cafe, Butch.
Yeah, but I couldn't get the name because there's already one in Destin. Maybe that guy owns it.
Homophones are threatening.
There's something asleep on my lap. I'm not sure what it is. If I love it, then I want to remain still so I don't wake it up. And if I fear it, I want to remain still so I don't wake it up.
Each memory we have, like this vacation, is a small poem or a story. It's reduced to its essence when we look back, to a handful of images or themes. Like, we took a walk. There were small cottages that sold ice cream, kitchen towels, and teacups. The breeze blew in from the sea, but she was wearing shorts.
Shut up, I'm comfortable. Yes, the original line in Whitman's Song of Myself was, shut up, I contain multitudes. Everyone is defensive when confronted with self-contradiction, but how can one exist any other way than to be willing to change course occasionally? To acknowledge that what might have been something that you once did or believed is not something that you currently need or want to do or believe. Next question.
My fantasy costume is to dress up as someone from some culture or religion who is preparing to perform a ritual possession, to give themselves up to ecstatic experience, to let the subconscious improvise. Hopefully, this involves cool boots and a crazy hat.
I don't know what this says about me.
Is it Fancy Dress Thursday?
I hope not. My fancy dress is at the cleaners.
I'm going to wear fatigues and carry a cafeteria tray and be MASH extra again. What's your go-to costume, Butchie?
I'm the main character in this anime with the Chinese title No Tea. Boo-cha. I like the futuristic uniform they have me in that. So that.
No tea, like we're out?
No, like no tea.
No. Swimming allowed? That comma makes all the difference. Hardy, what's your costume of choice?
So if you say fancy dress, then you go, so what are you going to wear for fancy dress on Friday night when we go out and do our tribal debauchery downtown?
Movements are everywhere. And there are many different types, Swiss, bowel, political. But we are going to focus on art movements, and in particular, one you have probably never heard of, but whose influence can be felt in many aspects of our daily lives. The sorites movement, or as most of us call it, heap art.
How do you know when art is art? The same way you know when a bald man is bald or a heap of rice is a heap. In other words, Vaguely.
Most of us are familiar with the paradox of the heap. If I had a heap of rice and I take away one grain, I still have a heap, yes? But what if I take away two grains? Three? At what point do I no longer have a heap?
Many also instinctively know that the same thing can be said of art. How do I know when something is simply a created object and when it's art? For centuries, we erred on the side of the obvious. Art was that which was undeniably heap-like.
But that is too easy and ignores the strange situation that causes the paradox in the first place. Are there endeavors, objects on the extremes of our graph that are both not art and art at the same time? And does that ever shift or change? The answer is in here.
This is a Neanderthal skull. Our hominid cousins aren't with us any longer because their wonderful variations for being an ape were not what the environment would favor at some point. For life to survive, it has to put as many variations out there as possible so that its chance of surviving when circumstances change is at the least slight. And those variations are the whole key to our art movement. The mutations don't have to be perfect, just good enough for the moment. Life, you see, rewards just good enough for the moment. It rewards variation. It wants to be a heap.
I do my thing and put it out there, like free tools, like a table of free tools that other folks can take as they need them. Some are obviously useful, like a hammer. Other tools seem strange and useless and pointless because I imagined them while dreaming of tasks that do not yet and may never exist. Still, they belong there, with the rest of the tools. Right next to the hammer.
We are all walking along a wall. My job is to stand behind you and yell at you to keep going. You see, some people are so afraid to fall that they jump. But that's stupid. You will fall eventually. Do not jump. Gravity does not need your help. Just keep going. We might need you at some point. No one is expendable, because nothing is predictable. You are a possibility. We need all possibilities.
Hey, Hardy.
Yeah?
What are you thinking?
Well, I don't know, because now I'm thinking about your question.
What do you think you were thinking?
I don't know, because I forgot what I was thinking.
Thinking's like that.
Hey, where's my grandma's coffee mug?
I don't know.
Hey, where's my grandma's coffee mug?
Butchie, what is that? What are you doing?
It's a recording of the time you lied to Lou about breaking his grandma's coffee mug.
Oh, Lord. Why on earth are you dredging that up? We worked that out a long time ago.
I'm making a haunted house for Halloween.
What's that have to do with a haunted house?
Instead of ghosts and stuff, it's a haunted house of regret, filled with the junk you wish you hadn't said or done. That's scarier than some doofus in a sheet. It's the stuff that really haunts people.
Hey! Where's my grandma's coffee mug?
Please, stop playing that.
I don't know.
You play this over and over in your head sometimes, don't you, when you least expect it?
Yes.
Like you're lying in bed at night, and you let out a deep sigh as every regrettable decision and sin against humanity you've ever committed comes flooding back in a tidal wave of self-loathing.
Butchie, you really know how to make a person feel awful.
It's a gift.
Hey, where's my grandma's coffee mug?
I don't know.
In the Museum of Life and Consequences is a collection of actions and decisions by a person whose words and deeds have had an effect whether he has intended them to or not. Hardy White. So I see you are looking at something you did in the past.
Oh, yes. I think about this often.
Care to describe it?
It's the time I called Lou a name that I instantly regretted. I was hurt, and so I lashed out and said something I regretted.
And there it is, preserved for all time.
Yeah, I know.
Tell me something about this one.
Oh, this one's much later. This is really an omission. I didn't warn Hans about something because I was afraid of the consequences, and he lost a lot of money. I was a coward.
I see. That seems to be a theme in your work.
Well, now, hold on. If you notice, these works change over time. I try not to repeat the themes of the previous works, so you won't see the name-calling come up again, for instance.
And this piece?
Well, that is another sin of omission. I admit, I have difficulty with that because not doing something doesn't seem so bad until you realize that you've allowed a bad thing to happen.
I see. So your work is evolving.
I hope so.
But your past is still preserved here in the museum. Do you worry you will fixate on these past works and fail to move forward?
Yes. All the time. Hey, Lou! Lou! Can I talk to you for a second?
Yeah, what's up?
I'm sorry that I broke your grandmother's mug and then lied about it.
What are you talking about? That was ages ago. I forgave you for that already.
I know, but I still haven't forgiven myself.
Well, that's dumb.
Is it?
Yeah. You hurt me. It was up to me to forgive you, and I did.
I know, but...
But nothing. If you continue to torture yourself about something involving me, then you implicate me in your self-torture, and that's not fair.
Okay.
Because eventually, you might come to resent that torture, and since I'm the source of it, you'll start to resent me. So really, since I forgave you, you have an obligation to let it go.
I know, but I still think about it.
That's fine. What I do is just put things like that in your museum of dumb stuff you've done but wish you hadn't. Then it's there as a testament to your progress. We can't undo the past. We can't always forget. But we can accept forgiveness. That's a big step.
But what if you hadn't forgiven me?
So? You asked like 20 million times to be forgiven. If I hadn't, then that's on me. People without a conscience probably have it easy. But if you do have one, be careful you keep it cleaned out or it won't work right. We good?
We're good.
Silence is golden. Noise is golden. Hearing is jewelry making. Speaking is silversmithing. If you can dance, you're doing something akin to glass blowing. I have sat perfectly still and made throne rooms, palaces. I sat looking at my hands and noticed ceramic rococo animals forming between my fingers, craning their necks when I point. What I'm saying is, I am experiencing my world into being.
All rise for the Emperor.
You may be seated. Well, is no one shocked at my so-called new clothes? They look lovely, sire.
You are lying.
Your Majesty?
These are invisible clothes. To you, I seem as naked as a jaybird on the day it was born.
Well, I would certainly never contradict you, sire, but you don't seem naked.
Technically, I am not, because I'm wearing clothes. But they are invisible clothes.
Ah.
See my bare butt?
No, actually. It seems to be covered with satin and ermine.
I was told that there would be some whose worldview was so limited that they cannot perceive these magic robes I am wearing.
I see.
Because you have never seen invisible clothing, you perceive them as actual clothing.
I see, Your Highness.
Oh, this feels so naughty. I love the many tricks and mysteries of perception.
Maybe there are no clothes. And maybe there's no emperor either.
What?
Hey, this voicemail message is for Butchie. Hey, Butchie. All I can go on are my perceptions. For me, life is experiential. Things may or may not be real. I don't know. That tree there seems to have some sort of substance to it. I'm looking at it. I don't understand all of its details. It's a mystery to me. It seems other. I'm thinking if I was in a dream, I might perceive the entire tree since it would be in my mind. But I know that this isn't all in my mind. This isn't all in my mind. Is it? If it is, I'm a mystery to myself. You don't have to call me back. Also, I'm lost in time.
When I was a house, people saw me and didn't see me at the same time. Houses can be invisible if they're not your destination. Now, I'm a person again, so no one sees me.
Hey, folks, mind if I sit here?
Folks?
Oh, I'm sorry. I saw your reflection in the window, and I thought there were two of you. It's so dark out. Oh, that was weird.
No, it's just me. Please, sit down. No one's sitting here.
Thanks. That's so strange. The window is like a mirror when it's so dark. The moon's peeking through a little now, so I can see your reflection and the outside together.
Tricks of light.
Light is tricky. May I ask what you're reading?
Sure. It's Albrecht Dürer's fifth book on measurement.
Fifth book? I thought there were only four.
I wrote this one.
What a day to be alive.
Hope tonight is like that.
Like what?
A day to be alive.
Well, tonight is part of today.
Some is part of tomorrow.
Anyway, it's good to be alive.
It is, and I hope we are.
We are what?
Alive.
Of course we're alive.
It sure seems like it, but I've never been dead, so it could have happened and I might not have noticed it.
You have an interesting perspective on things. I'm pretty sure I'm alive.
I am too, Captain. You're alive and not at all a fictional character in a story.
I might be that too one day, when my exploits are recorded for posterity.
Oh, a book recording your exploits for posterity. Don't buy one between now and Christmas, because that's a fantastic gift idea.
I was hoping some famous author would write about me.
Let's just see what happens. I sent a picture of my pet to a famous author, and they returned a wonderful book, describing a fun adventure my pet had without me.
Oh, Cookie.
Yes, Cookie the Parrot. It was called Cookie's Fun Adventure. He was in a busy city, and then he was on a bus, and I don't even know what that is.
Sounds like a fabulous book. I'm sure it'll get one of those gold seals on it indicating a book award.
It deserves one. It's so creative.
Anyway, it's a glorious day. And also, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Captain. May I ask what that is?
What is?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's a New World holiday.
Ah, so there's New World and Old World holidays. Like New World and Old World monkeys.
How's that?
You have your Old World monkeys, like a mandrill, and the New World monkeys, like the howler monkey. So Thanksgiving is a holiday howler monkey.
No, it's a holiday. A feast day.
Ah, like the feast day of St. Moses the Black.
St. who?
Moses the Black, my reverse patron saint.
Reverse patron saint?
Yes, he was a thief and a murderer, and took refuge in a monastery where he became pious and good. I'm just like that, but in reverse.
Well, you're the opposite of something.
Thank you, sir.
Anyway, it's a holiday where you get together with friends or family and eat and give thanks for your blessings.
Sounds wonderful. Will we be celebrating aboard ship?
Well, I don't see how. We would need a cornucopia of foods and a table and ceramic small turkeys with holes in their sides to stick our rolled-up napkins in.
Yes. It might be hard getting enough people around the table since the ship is empty.
There's that. I still have you, sailor.
True. Though I am a mere figment of your imagination.
Don't remind me.
Seems strange that with all the dead sailors on the ship, you couldn't hallucinate a better companion than I.
Oh, don't put yourself down, figment of my imagination. You're a fine companion. Baffling at times, but better than being alone.
But you are alone.
Don't remind me.
Why? It's not such a bad thing. You're safe for the moment. The weather is nice.
The weather is nice.
The weather is very nice.
That's no small thing.
It isn't. And you have your thoughts, which I think are grand, for they created me.
Thank you, imaginary sailor, based on a real sailor in my past who now lies dead beneath my feet.
My pleasure. Much to be thankful for. No disagreeable family to argue with and make you feel small.
Indeed. You can pick your friends.
But you can't pick your scurvy scabs. Captain's orders.
Yes.
Well, here's to the blessing of partial solitude.
May you find in your solitude the ghost ship of your imagination.
Hear, hear.
Radio announcement. Attention, people of the world and surrounding environs. As of now, you are free. I have not granted you that freedom. That freedom is not grantable. Hardy White loves you. I don't care one way or another about you. And Lou would like a ride to wherever you're going. And I have a question. And Don has questions. Just the one. Now that I'm not a house anymore, I don't know where the... I also don't know what it's called.
What's it for?
A task.
What sort of task?
I'm not trying to be obtuse here, but it's the kind of task requiring the type of thing I can't remember the name of. I've gone off into a tautological corner here.
Well, you'll think of it.
Dust mop. Hall utility closet by the bathroom.
Dust mopping. Yeah, I can see what you were stuck on.
I mean, it's not mopping. It's not dusting. What are you supposed to call it?
People of the Earth. The struggle to perform the most ordinary tasks is real and can be enormous. It is difficult to convey simple ideas, much less complex ones. What's this?
It's a feelings transference machine.
It's sparkly.
You can paint them whatever color you want.
Cool.
That is a powerful and problematic device, Butchie.
You know how we're always comparing emotional pain thresholds?
No.
Well, not consciously. But we're always wondering if the other person's feelings are as deep as ours. Now you can know.
Oh, heck no.
Why?
I'm pretty sure one's feelings are just for oneself. You can't go about comparing them like that. Well, who knows?
But what if I could convey to you the intense feelings of cosmic enormity I feel when confronted with the beauty of a flower or a fire orange sky? How every nerve in my skin and deeper is charged with electricity, and the sentence heightened to the point that the flutter of leaves and the wings of an insect are a symphony of emotional thunder.
Art is the feelings transference machine, isn't it?
Yeah. And also the box gives you a zit so you think it's technology doing it and not your senses.
Attention, radio listeners of the world. The following and previous broadcast segments deal with strong themes of friendship and misunderstanding. While all views are welcome, we are going to be awfully busy and may not get around to hearing your views, which I'm sure are varied and human and magical.
I'm not a big Ravel guy.
Cleveland is... Bolero is good.
Butchie, it's travel.
Oh. I'm not a big travel guy.
Cleveland is good. I went there one time.
I mean this trip in particular.
Well, nobody wants to go on a luxury holiday, man. But sometimes you have to do things for others. And sometimes just showing up is a big deal.
Well, I'm here grudgingly for sure.
You're everywhere grudgingly.
Nope. Question. The airport room.
You're soaking in it.
What's its purpose?
The white noise generator wasn't working for Butchie anymore, but he can always fall asleep in airports.
This is certainly a realistic, though small, recreation of an airport gate.
It's modeled after a real one in the Bahamas, but we say it's Cincinnati.
It's a super small airline, so they have a gate and a guest bedroom.
Well, that's brilliant. Sleep tight, Butchie. Right, Don. Oh, and bon voyage.
Butchie, I'm going to pop over to Concourse D and grab a cabbage wrap.
Okay, I'll guide your stuff.
Thanks.
So, that helps him sleep, does it?
Works every time. This and the long car trip simulator. Which is way preferable to the real thing, because a few seconds after he falls asleep there, I have to scream, "No, Butchie, oh God, let me drive!" Don, do me a favor. Hand this slip of paper to Hardy when you see him.
Well, why can't you just hand it to him yourself?
Yeah, Lou, why can't you just hand it to me yourself?
I'm sorry. I've been meaning to tell you.
Opens note. The black spot. What's that?
It's a curse from pirates. No big deal.
Hardy?
Oh, no, it's no big deal.
That sounds like a big deal.
They've been dead for hundreds of years, right, Lou?
Yep.
Lou?
Well, that's a relief. No way they could curse you from the past.
Which is where they are right now, right, Lou?
Yep, huh?
In the past.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you hand me the note?
Oh, I'm past, Lou. I'm not supposed to be here.
Oh, no. I thought we resolved all that years ago. You promised to never use the time machine alone again.
I bet I did. I totally promised that right now. However...
Well, I remember everything you did. But you never mentioned anything about going into the future.
I was embarrassed, I guess.
Or maybe
you asked me not to.
Well, that's a good point. Okay, so the pirates are here?
Yep. Treasure Island variety. Whistling Lily Bolero and drinking rum. But it's clear and smells like leaves.
Yes, that's them. All right, well, I'll speak with the captain of the pirate ship and get him content with the idea of living out his life hundreds of years in the future. And maybe shifting to theme restaurant work.
Captain Durr would make a great maitre d' and host. I might even apply for a server job.
Lou? Lou, watch out.
Shemp jive, everyone.
Shemp jive.
I will be reading from the Book of Imaginary Causes, Chapter 20b, Verse 11. A frying pan flexed its arm and jumped off the wall, off the nail to which it clung, and hurled itself onto a jar on the floor, smashing it. The spirit of an apple tree sent a chill through the hands of a man with an axe, even though he wasn't there to cut the tree. The apple tree appeared as an old man and grabbed the axeman's hands, turning them to ice. Two coasters flap and fly like moth wings and crash with reckless energy into walls and windows. The drums have faces on them and scowl and mock the drummer. And the tree with human heads for fruit that cackle and drop is real. Every excuse you make is a creepy living puppet. Amen.
What was it you wanted to see me about, Captain?
I want you to see this.
Ah.
Well?
It's a sample of sailcloth that someone has smeared some paint on. Are we in the market for new sails?
No, it's a painting.
Ah.
My painting. I'm not just a pirate, Captain. I'm also an artist.
How about that?
What do you think?
About what?
About my painting.
What you do in your own time is none of my business, sir.
What do you think of this painting? Do you like it?
Of course.
It's very realistic, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I feel I could reach right in there and grab that banana with a sword sticking out of it.
Banana? It's a ship.
Ah, a banana ship.
No, not a banana ship, a schooner.
Clever that they disguised it as a banana. Good camouflage for the tropics.
There's no banana involved. That's the hull, and the yellow color is the glow of the sun at dusk.
I see. You obviously know nothing about art. I am a bosun, after all.
Of course. I'm a fool for putting such a simple, unsophisticated wretch such as yourself on the spot to evaluate something as sublime as a fine oil painting.
No problem, Captain. I know nothing about art, sir. My only hobby is this.
Good Lord.
It's scrimshaw, Captain. I've carved the story of our journeys on here. Here's a portrait of yourself and the first mate. Here's Hispaniola and the Summers Islands. Took me 5 years so far.
Oh.
I know it's crude.
Mm-hmm. So, what is that carved on? Whalebone?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know how I feel about that.
It's problematic, I know.
I think I will deposit my painting in the apple barrel now. Ow!
Coming. Butchie?
And the moral of the story is it doesn't matter whether you're working with the past or not.
Butchie, can you hear me?
It's all just being done in a different way anyway.
Can you hear me?
Where am I?
This is the George Ledet program. Welcome. So, my guest today is Hardy White, host of Miracle Nutrition on WFMU, the incredible New Jersey freeform station. I'm not even going to begin to try to describe what he does, so I'll let him do that. Welcome, Hardy. I'm glad to be here, George. So, the description of your show on the station website is Southern Inspirational Dada. Mm-hmm. That's pretty specific stuff, and at the same time, what the heck is that? You know, I don't really know. I thought it sounded interesting. So please forgive the broad question I'm about to ask. Mm-hmm. But what is your show? What are you trying to do? Well, that is a broad question. And I think years ago I could have answered it, or at least tried to. But now I don't think I can. I don't really have a philosophy anymore. Because, stuff gets away from you. Mm-hmm. You think you're doing one thing, and then the minute you put it out there, it changes. Also, I'm not really telling anymore. I'm mainly asking.
Well, what changed?
You know, you realize the limits of some type of communication, or the limits of telling. So, for instance, I might have a dream about a beautiful white cow.
That's so Hindu.
Isn't it? Isn't it? So I want to convey what it was like, this incredible experience of seeing this beautiful, transcendent, radiant white cow. And so maybe I want to paint a picture so I can communicate that. I can show people what it was like. So I paint a picture, I get some paints, and I paint a picture on canvas, and it ends up looking like a marshmallow with a face. Because one, I can't paint. Two, the paints are not going to do justice to it. And the third weirder thing is maybe I didn't see as clear a picture as I thought I did.
Right.
Maybe it was more of a feeling. So now I just go with the feeling. And mainly what I want to do is just connect with people, right? I've tried to make it more basic. I just ask questions and try to trigger that feeling that we're all sharing some great and confusing thing, some experience, and that I honestly don't know what's going on. I just don't know.
I don't know.
I can't predict how people will react to things I say, or if I want them to, even. I had trouble last week reaching you. These nuts were on here again, and they keep us from being able to communicate. So if you hear something, that's what it is. I'd switched, but they're back, and it isn't terrible. But if I could understand half the time, that'd be another thing. Hey, we're headed to Mrs. Ledet's, by the way.
Papa, I see you.
When you go, will you please tell her that the reason I haven't been by is I'm not caught up with the show? She won't know what I'm talking about. I'll make something up.
Papa, you. I smell everything in your hair.
Yeah, make something up. I find it very difficult to impart information. Who knows the way things are interpreted? You know, what's an illusion? Oh, this guy's on again. I'm amused. I'm amused and also not. But I could say that for anything. Anything.
Oh, Mrs. Ledet, I really appreciate you doing this for me.
Oh, it's no problem. You're so welcome.
So, I want you to read the lines in bold print there.
Okay.
All right. Let's begin.
As long as I hear the lawnmower, I know the lawn's being mowed.
He's mowing it.
Is the fat one still mowing it?
I made the same mistake. Apparently, he's not fat, but just has a big head. And yeah, can't you hear it?
Hear what?
Hear the lawnmower.
I can't hear anything.
Well, he's doing it.
I hope so. And you watch the silverware. I don't trust him.
That is so ironic.
What?
I said I'm watching the silverware.
I trust you because you said you were from South Jersey.
I did?
Where are you from?
South Jersey.
What town?
You probably haven't heard of it.
I'm from there. Where are you from? I'm from Collingswood.
I'm from southeast of there.
Vineland?
No, southeast of there.
Ocean City?
No, southeast of there.
That's the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, I don't think the town is there anymore. Anyway, I need to get back to watching this silverware.
I hope that lawn's getting mowed. I don't want the neighbors thinking I don't care.
Since you don't even have a lawn, I don't think they'll care.
What?
I said Lou is taking care of it.
Who?
Lou. The guy mowing your lawn.
You tell him to get back to work.
Get back to work! There.
Did you get some pie?
Yeah, thanks, I did.
I appreciate you coming over and helping me out. I'd do it myself, but I'm a cripple, you know.
Okay.
And these neighbors, the one in the room next door is such a pill. Very low class.
Don't worry about a thing, Mrs. Ledet.
Thank you, Mo.
No problem.
Hi, George.
Hi, Grandma.
Thank you for coming over.
No problem. So what happened?
I was sitting in the TV room and heard this big crash. And when I came out, the curtain rod and the dining room drapes had crashed to the ground. I think the brackets are still there. Can you just put them back up for me?
Let me take a look at it.
I don't know whether the dog pulled at it or what, but it all came crashing down. It just missed the tea cart and all my teacups.
Well, it looks like the screws pulled out of the wall. I'll have to maybe rehang it or plaster up those holes and re-drill.
Can you just hang it back up there?
Yes, but I'm going to have to drill new holes.
Oh, Lord. I didn't want it to be a big production.
It's not a problem. But it will take a minute.
This house. I'm about done with it. It's one thing after another. It's just too much. And I'd love to be in a place with no lawn.
It can be a lot of upkeep.
If I didn't have you, I don't know what I'd do.
Just let me know what you need done.
Oh, thank you, George. You're the best grandson. You know that.
Thanks, Grammy. Can I look through your old photo album?
Of course. Which one?
What's the name of the movie star who went to high school with you?
Oh, Michael Landon. I didn't know him. He was in the upper class. But his name back then was Eugene Orowitz.
I like your high school pictures a lot, but you don't look any different.
Oh, that's not true.
I mean, you look like a grown-up already. My sister's pictures still look like she's a kid.
Maybe it's the clothes. I don't know. Pictures of our parents and grandparents always look old to us, I think. Pictures of my grandmother are the same way. She always looked like she was old to me.
Well, I like the way you look now and then.
Oh, you're a little flatterer.
It's true, though.
Well, go get the picture book.
Dear Diary, 2 nights in a row I had a dream where my name was different. Things were familiar, but in one, people were calling me George, and in another, they were calling me Hardy. But never by my real name. I don't know if I was dreaming, or I was someone else, or if it was some sort of past life, but it sure felt weird, and when I woke up, I didn't know who I was for a second. Dreams are weird. Time is weird.
It's time to play Hold the Horse Phone. Here's Mike Rabbit.
Welcome to Hold the Horse Phone, the show that invites contestants to name a thing based on a prompt, risk it all, or hold the horse phone. Players have 3 seconds to composite their idea, naming abstractly and defining the counter logic of the non-question. Players who fail to answer or pass the time limit can hold the horse phone and decline into the overshow umwelt. Here's Jack Yoke to tell us what they'll win. Winning contestants today will win a year's supply of yabs, yabs, be and play them, never let you see them, and Davor by Yamoni, light interior lining for today's active scene, contour ship and permeable designs made for the forward thinker in mind, Davor by Yamoni, and hats, canes, sturdy lightweight braces and props made with a dependable material, never let you go down if you can lift it up, pads. All right, then, let's give it a spin or hold the horse phone. Lou, you won the toss. Spin or hold the horse phone?
I'm going to spin, Tom.
All right, do it.
All right.
The prompt is G.
I'm going to say David K. Lewis counterfactuals.
That is correct. Spin or hold the horse phone?
I'm going to spin, Dick.
All right, your prompt is 303.
Jackie Byard, Freedom Together, and Your Mom.
That is correct. Spin or hold the horse phone?
Harry, I'm feeling lucky. I'm going to spin.
All right, go for it. And your prompt is orange.
Tough one. I'm going to say Jean Renoir.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lou. You're on a roll, too. The answer is Alain René.
Oh, shoot.
You saw nothing in Jersey City. Nothing.
I saw everything. I saw the radio station. I'm sure of it. The radio station in Jersey City exists. How could I not have seen it?
You didn't see the radio station in Jersey City. You saw nothing in Jersey City.
4 times at the PATH station in Jersey City.
What PATH station in Jersey City?
4 times at the PATH station in Jersey City, I saw people walking around, people staring at their phones and standing around, staring at their phones for lack of anything else, playing games on their phone or on social media for lack of anything else, Twitter, for lack of anything else. 4 times at the PATH station in Jersey City, I watched people. I myself, staring at my phone, lost in social media. The tweets, the posts. Funny or weird or sad or mad, the frustrations of people in Jersey City when the train is late. I was on Grove Street. Had a drink with Greg. I know it. Grove Street.
You saw nothing of Jersey City. Nothing.
I saw the place by the river where you walk. Where the tourists go and stare at the water, that's what you do. I've always wondered about Jersey City.
No, what is there to wonder about?
I saw the old magazines at the radio station. Todd gave me a bunch, about last decade and the one before that and the one before that. A bunch of different people have come through and had shows. I heard some. I saw the articles.
You saw nothing.
The radio station is covered with pictures of people and funny stuff, memorabilia. I didn't make any of that up.
You made all of it up.
None of it. Just like the weirdness of dreams you can never forget. I will never forget the radio station. Just like with dreams. I saw the DJs too. All the people. Different personalities. I know what it is to forget.
No, you don't know what it is to forget.
Like you, I have a memory. I know what it is to forget.
No, you do not have a memory.
All right, you win. I give up.
You give in too easily.
I don't even remember what we're talking about.
Something.
Yeah, something. Thanks for going with me to mow Mrs. Leday's lawn. She's getting a little bit more forgetful every time we go.
I know. I swiped some silverware this time and she didn't even notice.
Butchie!
I'm kidding. Jeez, who do you think I am? I did swipe you some pie, though, because even though I didn't feel guilty, it seems to me you deserve pie. Also, it'll make you fat and then I'll be right.
Thanks. I guess. You're a good soul.
The Barber's Mirror.
Have a seat, sir. I'll be with you in a minute. And then I says to him, I says, if someone says they know you, and then what they describe as themselves... Am I right? There, you're all set.
Thanks, Hans.
Don't mention it. Oh, thank you, Butchie. Next.
Oh,
Oh, I'm next.
What will you have today, sir?
A little off the top.
Looks like you already had a lot off the top.
Hey, no wisecracks. Just cut what's there.
I'll do my best.
Make me look sophisticated.
How about just not like a pirate?
Fine. Hey, where's Sal today?
It's Sal's day off.
I hear he's a great barber.
He's the boss, so yes.
Handsome, too.
That is a matter of taste.
I never seem to catch him when I come in. I think it's because we always have the same day off.
That must be.
I never know what to do with myself on my days off. I usually get a haircut, though.
You must not have many days off.
I don't. I love what I do, so I'm at work mostly.
Must be nice.
Yeah, but when you work as much as I do, you lose touch with the rest of the world. That's why barbershops are great. You can get back in touch with people, hear their stories, share news and gossip, like what a fantastic barber Sal is.
Indeed. Well, there you go, all cleaned up.
Ooh, looks great. Thanks, Hans.
My pleasure, Sal.
Ixnay.
Sorry. My pleasure, random stranger.
Have a pleasant day, my friend.
You too.
Sorry to bother you. I'm the spirit of death, and I'm looking for a Jack Reese.
Sorry, no Jack Reese.
Wait. Are you sure? I know this is the right address.
No Jack Reese.
I know it's not you, because I'm looking for a younger person, but is there anyone else here?
Just me and my son.
What's your son's name?
Baruch.
Baruch Reese. Well, that could be him. Jack could be a nickname. Could I speak with him, please?
Not Baruch Reese. Baruch Spinoza.
Baruch Spinoza.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone here named Baruch Spinoza.
Mm-hmm.
Like the philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I apologize for the interruption.
No problem. I hope you find your guy.
Oh, thank you.
Bartholomew!
You can't live here anymore, you worthless waif whose parents are dead. Off with you.
Poor Bartholomew.
Off with you.
Poor Bartholomew.
Why are you back? Be gone with you.
Dirty shoes. Dirty shoes.
Why are you back?
You better be on your way to school. Dirty shoes.
Come with me to the hunting cabin.
Bartholomew!
You look so pretty. I kept these bedsheets your parents were wrapped in so you could wear them as a dress.
Come with me to the hunting cabin.
Dead parent girl, come sell these breads. Dead parent girl, stay with the cart until I get back.
Bartholomew.
Bartholomew! Dead parent girl.
Never forget me. Also, collect all the golden bicycles. Collect all the golden bicycles. Collect all the golden bicycles.
What's that one mean? That is the window of stars. It symbolizes place.
Ah, and that one?
That is the infinite non-dairy creamer. It symbolizes time. Oh, look, the bag of hammers.
Is that good?
It is neither good nor bad.
Okay.
And the king of mattresses.
So, what is my fortune?
Well, looks good. Fortune's fine. No obvious problems. Just make an appointment for 1 year from now on your way out. You should be good.
Nothing more specific?
I mean, you know, just the basics. Don't worry about the future or past. Try balancing things, I guess.
Okay, well, thank you.
Also, you should get your own deck for use at home so you can monitor your fortune as you make lifestyle changes.
I guess I can get some of those online.
Sure. And just remember, don't take your fortune after some small disappointment. It'll taint things.
Ah, okay, good advice.
Lollipop?
No, I'm good.
You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in Rockland County, and New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org. Worldwide, thank you so much for joining me this week. Again, friends, I love being with you, and I hope you enjoyed all these little tidbits that were lying around. And some of them are, I can't guarantee their freshness. But I'll tell you, they're good. They're like hard candies. They really never really do go bad. After a really long time, they would.
I was standing at the crossroads. I look way down the line and I wonder.
Whoa, yeah.
How long would it be?
Yeah.
Before the Lord calls. That's why I'm gonna sing
just a little while.
Sing a little while while I have a chance to sing. No, I
may not
have a chance to sing.
May not have a chance to sing anymore.
No, when call
ready,
yes, you know it may
maybe
be my last time. I'm gonna sing
just a little while.
Sing a little while. I said I
may not have a chance to sing.
Oh, I'm gonna
keep on serving for the rest of my day.
I know you've been
so